At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The NFL's third annual Fan of the Year contest, presented by Captain Morgan, recognizes and celebrates extraordinary and inspiring fans. In collaboration with all 32 teams, the 2022 NFL Fan of the Year contest is officially open. Do you or someone you know rally others to spice up the game? Visit NFL.com/Fan of the Year to nominate someone or learn more. Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jim Trana. Thank you for listening. Great episode this week. Brian Curtis of The Ringer does an excellent job covering sports media over there. Joins me to talk about all of the latest sports media news. It was a busy week. We had the Ime Udoka story and the coverage of that. We have people going crazy because ESPN cut into Clemson Wake Forest with an Aaron Judge at bat, Stephen A. and Malika Andrews fighting, give our opinion on how some of the NFL broadcast booths are doing. So all that with Brian Curtis on the podcast. Following him, we have Lindsay McCormick and Rashad Jennings. They are the hosts of a new podcast right here on Sports Illustrated called The Bag, that covers sports business. So I know a lot of you are into the sports business world. So Lindsay and Rashad are on the pod to talk about their pod and what you can expect from it. No Train of Thoughts this week. Unfortunately, Sal is out of town. He will be back next week. I'll give you a quick Train of Thoughts update here on our best bets. I hit mine last week with the Ravens over the Patriots. I am now 3-0 on the season for best bets. Sal finally got off the schneid. He had the Colts, had no business winning it, but he did. So he's now 2-1. So for this week, Sal's going with Arizona +2. On Sunday, the Cardinals are playing the Panthers in Carolina. Sal's going with Arizona +2. I had written down two games that I was looking at. Arizona was one of them. The other one was Dallas. So since Sal took Arizona, I'm going to go with Dallas. They're only giving a field goal at home to the Commanders. I think the Cowboy defense against Carson Wentz is going to be a big problem for the Commanders. So I'm going to go with Dallas -3. Sal's going with Arizona +2. For the best bets. All right. And then the last thing I need to tell you quickly, if you missed any recent episodes of the podcast, check them out in the archives. Rich Eisen was on last week, Andrew Marchand 2 weeks ago, Al Michaels 3 weeks ago, Matthew Berry 4 weeks ago. Subscribe to the SI Media Podcast, leave a review on Apple, probably read it next week with Sal when he's back. All right. Brian Curtis, followed by Lindsay McCormick and Rashad Jennings, right here on the SI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, SI Media Podcast regular. Always enjoy chatting with him about sports media from The Ringer and the excellent Press Box podcast, Brian Curtis. Brian, how's it going?
It's great because it's football season and life makes more sense during football season.
And work becomes much easier. That's the most important thing.
Everything's organized, know what you're doing, know what you're reacting to. It's great.
I don't know why I would ever be surprised, and I'm surprised isn't the right word, but you know, week after week, I'm just in awe at the NFL machine. No matter what, you know, it's there. The ratings are up this year. They manage to dominate no matter what. It's really something else.
I think it really hit me week one, Cowboys Bucks on Sunday Night Football, a game I was unfortunate enough to be at because it was incredibly boring. And I was there with my son, who was 9. And then I came back and I thought, God, that was an awful game. And then I saw the TV number and I was like, whoa, football's back. And it doesn't even matter if it's good football.
Cowboys will generate that rate. It's wild. Almost 20 million ESPN got for Monday Night Football this week with the Cowboys and Giants in an awful game. I will say, I said this last week. No, I guess it was 2 weeks ago because there was no Manning. Last week was the doubleheader. I said this 2 weeks ago. Again, I found myself, I didn't watch any of the Manning cast this week after watching it every single time it was on last year. And I was thinking about it. It's like subconsciously, I mean, I like Steve Levy and I think he's a really good dude. He was classy the way he handled all this. And I didn't have this overt, I don't like this Booth thing. I was into the Mannings, but now with Buck and Aikman there, I flip that on and I don't even think about changing the channel. It's pretty wild how that's turned out for me. What has been your experience with watching Monday Night Football?
Exactly the same thing. Wow. It's almost like ESPN has too many stars. And I've put the Manning cast in the part of my mind that's like late night TV, where if something good happens, I know I'll see the clip on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what I did this week. And I just watch Buck and Aikman. It feels like, okay, they're big stars on this. Almost introducing that even for like 10 minutes, it just kind of overloads me. So
yeah, it's interesting too, because I know the ratings for the Manning cast for the two episodes they've done are pretty much in line with what they did last year, maybe down a drop. I think they're still at that like 1.4, 1.5 million. But I feel like I've seen less about it on Twitter, and it's always dangerous to judge things by Twitter. But I don't feel the, oh my God, this is so great, you got to check this out, look what's going on. I don't feel it as much this year. Maybe it's just year two. I'm sure more people, maybe there's more people like us who are tuning into Buck and Aikman, but that hype doesn't feel like it's there.
Yeah, when I saw the guest list this week, Pat McAfee's on, so you know that'll be interesting. Jimmy Johnson's on. I'm a Cowboys guy. I love Jimmy, but it's like, okay, and their audio was apparently just incredibly messed up during that segment, and it was just a complete mess, but it's just... Yeah, I think the new car smells off it a little bit, right? And you just think, hey, okay, that would be cool. I'm not against it, but right. I'm not seeking it out either.
Right. It's still a great product for what it is. It's just, I don't know. I had said last year when the games are good, I'll watch the regular telecast, and then it never got to that. I also think I'm a little surprised. I don't want this to come off as negative. It's just observations. I'm a little surprised. I think all the guests are the same ones they've had last year. I'm surprised there hasn't been anyone new.
And that's the thing, right? It's like it's like 1 year. You're like, okay, let's go see who we can book. We're going to get The Rock. We're going to get Russell Wilson. We're going to get all these things. And then year two, it's like, okay, it's like, they're in SNL season where you're like, should we bring the guy back again or should we get somebody new?
I mean, they should and could be able to book anyone. It's not like me where, I'm booking this myself. I mean, Peyton has bookers and Peyton and Eli have connections. You would think there'd be some new guests in there.
Yeah, it should be more glamorous than our respective podcasts.
Well, I just saw you had Charlie Steiner on this week. And it's funny when I saw that, that was a guy, I think over the summer I had put in my, there were two guys over the summer. I said to myself, I should try to get these guys on. One was Bob Uecker, who I've never heard on a podcast. And let's see, do I want to go here? Oh, I'll go there. It was the most... So I emailed the Brewers PR, media relations, whoever, and within 5 seconds got a reply like, no thanks, or he's not doing it, or we can't help you. It was very short, very curt, very non-helpful. I don't know if it's an age thing and they want to keep him off podcasts, but they were not playing with Bob Uecker. And then the other guy was Charlie Steiner, who I just never reached out to for whatever reason. I saw you had him this week. How was Charlie? How was that interview? Because he's got some, I'm sure, amazing stories from over the years.
Oh, for people like you and me. I mean, first of all, I went to Charlie Steiner's house here in LA to record it just so that, to see him and the sound sounded better. Awesome. So that was just kind of a funny experience in itself and a cool experience. But yeah, it was great. We had to do not only calling Dodger games, which, by the way, he has been doing longer than he was on ESPN. So wow. Put that, you know, make that work in your mind. Calling Yankee games with John Sterling. And then, you know, ESPN, Follow Me to Freedom. There's so much to talk about.
It's such an, you have to be a real sports media nerd / Yankee fan to even care about this. But Steiner was in the booth with John Sterling for the Aaron Boone game against the Red Sox.
He was.
And joined him and did a duet with him on the Yankees win, the Yankees win. And John would not usually allow that. I think that was the last year for Charlie Steiner in the booth. So who knows?
I think he got one more, but yeah. And, oh, you know, and the whole lottery of that, because they were switching off innings in extras.
Right, right.
And Charlie happens to get the 11th inning, and that's the first pitch. And so it's, if you go back and listen to that clip, Sterling goes, and now back to, oh, it's gone. You know, I mean, it was yeah. fast. And I was thinking about this week, because we've been talking about, like, will Michael Kay get to call 61, and will he get to call 62? And so much of announcing is just a lottery.
And oh, yeah.
Do you get the game? If you get the game, do you get the inning?
Well, this is, I'm totally stealing this from Mike and the Mad Dog, because when they were together, they always talked about this. If you're the local TV announcer for a baseball team, a la Michael Kay, you get so screwed in the postseason because you're out. It's all national, and the local, you know, here in New York, for instance, just going by the Yankees, my, you know, John and Susan do every single inning of every post game, where the TV guys for the baseball teams, they're out. It's a weird thing there.
It is, because you have what is, I guess, kind of the more prestigious job. But then as soon as you get to the playoffs, or at least the second round, and then you bug out, and it's like, uh-oh. The radio guys or gals are the ones who are going to go all the way to the end. It's fun.
And in baseball, the national guys are complete. No matter how good they are, they don't know the local teams in any way, shape, or form, in any fraction of how the local guys do. So it's a very bizarre thing the way it ends up working out.
As we could ask Joe Buck, decades now of people being mad at him on Fox.
Well, Joe calls a great game, but Joe's just, he's not going to know the Yankees the way Michael Kay knows the Yankees. It's just,
that's kinda what I mean. Yeah. Joe's awesome, but it's then Yankee fan, you know, 2022 on Twitter is like, you don't know the team like I do. And it's like, correct, but I'm here on Fox calling the game.
So there were two things that happened, well, three things that happened this week that I really wanted to talk about that I was just in awe of, in terms of the insanity of the reaction. I mean, listen, sports fans are deranged, but what I saw this week went to a new level. One of those things was with the Yankees, with Judge possibly hitting the 61st home run on Apple TV and Michael Kay not being able to call it. I mean, people were so worked up about, now I was worked up from the standpoint of, I thought it sucked for Yankee fans that the game would be on Apple TV and the people in their local market. But there were so many people who are upset that Michael Kay wouldn't call the home run. I was like, I'm flabbergasted this many people care. Why is this? You know, I've even seen today, you know, after he didn't hit the home run, oh, now Michael Kay can call it. Good, good, good. I don't know. That's not a factor for me. Is that weird?
Why are people upset? That's my question.
Right.
When you have that clip that we're going to play 9 billion times over the next 20 years, do you want it to be the right voice on the clip? Is that
well, who's to say what the right voice is?
Well, that's like, what I mean. From Yankee fan perspective, is Michael Kay, you want his voice on the clip? Is that what we're upset about?
Well, right. And also, you could have had that clip called by Steven Nelson on Apple TV if Judge would have hit the home run. It could have been called by Carl Ravitch on Sunday Night Baseball if he would have. It could have happened Tuesday night with Brian Anderson on. I mean, this is the way it is. The outrage that one person couldn't make the call. I don't know. It seemed that it was very bizarre to me, I thought.
I think announcers are very used to this.
Yeah.
You know, they know that, you know, sometimes fortune points at you and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
But you know what? Also, by the way, if we're feeling sorry for announcers, are we going to really feel sorry for Yankee announcers not getting a big moment? Can we ask Euchre what it's like to wait and wait and wait for a big moment to call?
I know 90% of the people listening to this who are not Yankee fans are like, who gives a shit? So,
well, they get big moments all the time.
Yeah, I agree.
Been around for a bunch. So, you know,
just surprised how many people were going to be affected if Michael Kay didn't have the call. So
it was weird. It felt like something to be mad about on Twitter. And then, you know, New York's attorney general got involved and, you know, it was just like, okay.
Well, she had no idea the game was free. That was her problem getting it, you know, because the game was on Apple TV.
Question. What is more accessible in 2022? Yes. Or Apple TV?
Well, see, to me, this has been my argument on this every week. The Apple TV game is free, so it doesn't apply here. But it's usually where you're paying for cable, like you pay for Yes, and then they put the game on Amazon Prime, for instance, which you have to pay for. It's them milking fans for double payments that irritates me about the streaming. The accessibility is what it's accessible. I don't like watching the game that way, but it is accessible. To me, it's when you get hit for the double payment, basically, because a lot of us are still paying for cable.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here, by the way. So it's like you're saying, okay, I got Yes, I'm going to get the Yankee games. Oh, wait, I go somewhere else to pay for a Yankee game. You know, I totally understand.
Yeah. That. Now, I might need you to straighten me out on this one, because the reaction from fans that I saw on the Clemson Wake Forest split screen with the Aaron Judge at bats made me think that, I mean, we have a serious problem with sports fans being deranged in this country. Now, again, I'm a Yankee fan, so I don't know, maybe I'm coming at it from that perspective, but I was thinking that as a Yankee fan. If I'm watching a college football game and they cut in to show any at-bat from any player going for any record, I am not going to get worked up over 2 minutes of the college football game being on a split screen. It's not like they went away from it. They did a split screen for an at-bat. You would have thought someone, you know, burned the country down to the ground or something. I could not believe how angry people were about that. It was shocking to me that people would be so wrapped up about that. What was your reaction to that?
So my personal experience, I'm a University of Texas grad, and I was watching Texas play like crap against Texas Tech when that was happening. It's like, please, more split screens. Can we show something else to get my mind off this garbage that I'm watching right now? So I didn't mind at all, and it didn't bother me at all. Here's what I think the point is, Jimmy. Doesn't say something great about baseball that sports fans are like, please do not show me this historic baseball moment during my fairly run-of-the-mill college football game. Clemson Wake Forest are going to be really good, but like, is this? And the second thing is, I just think sports fandom has just become really different now, and mostly it's bad news for baseball.
Yeah,
baseball's just not. Even in this awesome moment, right? This is as good as it's going to, or as fun as it's going to get, you know, and at least until Judge passes Barry Bonds. It's like, we don't want it. We don't, please don't mix these things together. I don't want to know that your judge is about to hit 61.
I don't disagree with you. I think
that's bad news to me.
Yeah. It's a very legit point. I do think a lot of the animosity and anger, though, was because it was a Yankee. Maybe. If they were cutting into a Shohei Ohtani at bat, I don't think as many people would be as livid as they were. I mean, you're talking for someone to get angry, legitimately angry, that you have a split screen for 2 minutes of a college football game, no matter what they cut in with. I think the fact that they cut in with a Yankee who's going after what's not really a record, that is what set people off. But your baseball point is true as well. I think it's combination.
I will say, in mild defense of college football fans, that they're just angry all day on Saturday.
Yeah, yes.
Somebody tries to give you ice creams. Like, what the hell are you doing giving me ice cream? Why are you giving me? Yeah. Somebody gives you $1 million. Like, what, you trying to give me $1 million right now when I'm watching the game?
I mean, that was my
college football message board. We're just pissed off. So
that was what, at the end of the day, when it was all said and done, my takeaway after I thought about it was, the most deranged fans in sports are college football fans. That was my takeaway.
I think they would admit that.
And then they got pissed because on Monday Night Football, ESPN decided not to do the split screen and the cut-in. And then they're like, oh, but, you know, because of the NFL. Yeah, the NFL runs the country, in case you didn't know. So I don't know. And listen, I have no idea. I would love your opinion. I don't know if the NFL and Roger Goodell said to ESPN, no split screen, no cut-in. I mean, you know, Martian made a good point on Twitter. If you're going to do a split screen to the Judge at bats, it would have made sense during Monday Night Football because the New York Giants are playing.
Yeah.
And you have a crossover audience there, much more so than Clemson Wake Forest. Now, so you don't, so we don't know, did the NFL say no cut-ins or did ESPN see the Twitter reaction? They decided no cut-ins. You know, I know these networks are terrified of the NFL, so it could have gone either way. But then the college football fans are pissed. They decided, no, you know, they're like, oh, because the NFL is more important. Yes, the NFL is more important. The NFL is about a billion times more important than college football. Sorry, that's just the way it is.
It's true. I mean, and it's funny, too, because not only did Martian, that's a good point about the New York audience, but also Joe Buck's a baseball guy or was a baseball guy.
Right.
So if anybody could kind of bring in that moment and kind of understand what was happening and help the audience understand how important that was, it's him.
Yeah. I do. I should have asked someone from ESPN if it was, but they wouldn't admit if the NFL told them not to. So they'd probably play it off as it was just their decision after the backlash, I guess.
Programming decision.
Yeah. And then the other huge story of the week was the Ime Udoka. It felt like the coverage of the Ime Udoka story was just as big as the Ime Udoka story. The coverage of the coverage, I should say. The coverage of the coverage.
Yeah.
Give me what you thought about how it all went down.
I saw somebody comment on this because Shoemaker and I were talking about this on the press box on Monday. And I think part of the reason the coverage of the coverage is so big is because there's not that much coverage in terms of actual hard information about what happened.
Right.
We're still dealing with a couple of very skeletal news stories and tweets that people are either making big assumptions about, knowing more facts about what happened, or they're doing this thing where they wink at the camera, go, oh, well, you know, I found out what happened. You know, I can't say it here, but trust me, you know, it's this way or that way. And I'm kind of going, okay, I don't know what to do with any of this. Yeah. If I were on ESPN, I surely wouldn't be rolling out some big takes without knowing all the information and having a better sense of what's going on here. And I suspect we will at some point. You know, there's so many reporters on this story now. But I was just struck by how little, in fact, we know. You know, even just, again, reading the stories of Woj and Shams and those guys wrote, like, I still feel I just know very, very little of the story.
Did you have any issues with what Woj and Shams did when they tweeted what they tweeted on that first day?
I was struck by the fact that Woj's tweet was essentially like he may be suspended for something that's unclear, right? That was the first tweet. But that's just, again, it was a very partial read on the story. I think the Shams thing, it's going to be really fascinating when we know more because he characterized, you know, what happened in a very particular way.
Word inappropriate? Is that the specific word he used?
And also the word consensual, I think.
Well, that was from Woj. Woj was consensual, and then I think Shams said inappropriate, if I'm not mistaken.
I just think, like, again, these are complicated issues in a workplace. There's those terms mean different things and can mean different things at different times. So I just think it'll be really interesting. And I don't want a hot take on this, on their coverage without knowing what is going to happen. But I think when we find out more, it'll be interesting to revisit that stuff.
Yeah, I thought Woj and Shams got unfairly beat up a little bit, only from this standpoint. They clearly knew, at least Woj. Woj clearly knew he was going to be suspended. I mean, he was proven right on that. So when he had sent out his initial tweet, he wasn't suspended yet. So I guess the argument there is, should Woj have waited till the suspension was official? Or, I mean, how bad is it? Because there's two layers here. There's the affair or relationship, put that aside. Just going by, like, I think any reporter in any sport, if they hear that a coach is going to be suspended, they're going to tweet that even before it's official. So now once you put out that coach is going to be suspended for the year, there's going to be a feeding frenzy on why. So I think you have to mention the relationship, but I blame the Celtics mainly for the lack of details. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong there, but that's how
Chad Finn wrote a really good column about this and pointed out that there were 23 hours that passed between the initial Woj tweet and the Celtics making any kind of statement.
Right.
And so what happens in that 23 hours, everybody starts guessing. Everybody starts, you know, imputing stuff, doing weird and kind of gross stuff on Twitter. So, yeah, that definitely yeah. sent this to a weird place.
I get why people would have the issue with Woj tweeting consensual relationship. But I do think Woj had to tweet about the... I don't think Woj could just go on Twitter and say, the Celtics head coach is going to get suspended for a year, period, send. I mean, you have to provide the why.
Like I said, I'm happy to table this until I read, yeah. you know, what exactly is here, but I think it's going to be interesting. Like I said, again, these issues are just really, really complex.
Yeah.
And terms are meaningful and they're complex and they have different meanings to perhaps different people within the story, you know, within the both parties. So yeah. I UCB kind of hold back here because I don't want to.
Yeah, I got it.
I don't want to criticize anybody, but I also want to compare it when we finally find out what happened.
Right. I always find it amusing too when there's a story like this, and then someone from the non-sports world comes in with something. I don't know if you saw Kevin Frazier, who's the host on Entertainment Tonight, tweeted out that he had multiple sources confirm to him that the relationship at question here was found out by the husband on the Ring doorbell microphone camera. Yeah, that's always interesting to me when you have the non-sports people then jump in with some is news.
And in this case, Kevin Frazier, formerly
just
ESPN,
right
now on ET, is that right? That was a surprising one.
Added another layer to the story. I guess my question too would be, you know, what responsibility do the Celtics have to provide details? Because you don't want to provide any details that, you know, if this was, you know, a relationship where he was in power, she was a subordinate, you know, are the Celtics responsible to give us that side of the story? The fact that he's suspended for a year, if he was suspended for a month, 2 months, I don't think there'd be that fever for the information, but he's suspended for a year. That's a big, and also if he's having a relationship with someone who's a subordinate, why isn't he fired? I mean, I think the Celtics here have to answer more questions than anyone.
Yeah. And I think if you watch that press conference, that was a really, really interesting press conference because you got a lot of reporters that are asking exactly what you just said. Wait a second. What's the difference between if it's a year long suspension, why isn't he fired?
Right.
And what are we talking? I mean, you could see them really trying to, you know, pin down as much information as they could. But again, you came away with that. I think Malika Andrews talked about this on ESPN, just with way, way more questions than answers.
What did you make of the Stephen A. Malika Andrews interaction?
I thought it was hard to watch. You know, the whole "don't come onto my show and tell me what to do" kind of thing. That didn't feel comfortable to me to watch at all, to be honest.
Yeah, that was rough. That was rough.
And I didn't understand. I just, to the extent I understood Stephen A's point from day one, it was he was upset at the way the Celtics had handled. He wasn't letting Udoka off the hook, but he was upset at the way the Celtics had handled it.
I think the point he tried to make was if this was a white coach, the information wouldn't be leaked. Or why, you know, or his point was this is going on all over the place. Why are they leaking this information on a black coach? I think that was his point.
So, and she comes in and, you know, was criticized. Yeah, it's one of those, we don't have, I understand, like, there are opinion shows on ESPN, there are podcasts like you and I make every day.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm completely innocent on all issues ever, but there are times when you just say, we don't have to do this right now, right? We're not beating some deadline to have an opinion about this in most cases. It's okay to just be like, I don't know enough right now to come down, you know, in a big way. It doesn't mean we can't discuss it. Doesn't mean we can't talk about it and talk about what we know, what we don't know. But like, why do we have to do this?
Yeah.
Right. Like the next morning.
I've always been fascinated. Yeah. Yeah. I've always been fascinated that people won't say, I don't know, or I don't have an opinion. You know, when that story first broke, I tweeted, this makes no sense, because on the very initial, and some people interpreted that as me being pro or con the suspension. And I should have been clearer. When I say this makes no sense, I said, now this is when it first happened. What made no sense is Woj tweeted he had a consensual relationship. He got suspended for a year. There's an imbalance there until we knew more, obviously. But my point was, it made no sense because we don't know anything yet. And I don't understand why people can't ever just say, I don't know, in this business.
I think it'd be powerful. And I think it's powerful for somebody like, you know, who's on an ESPN show to just be like, and yeah. It actually does send a signal to not only to ESPN, but Twitter that like, hey, let's report this, right? Yeah. I mean, by the way, what I want to read from one of our colleagues is what these couple of days were like inside ESPN, where you not only have a bunch of ace NBA reporters, but you have this kind of that plus this need to talk about it on television. You've got lots of people, I'm sure, pooling their resources and trying to come out with a report on a very, very tricky story.
Yeah. I think it's a very simple thing. I mean, I think, you know, Stephen A is on the air doing this live show. News breaks that the Celtics coach is going to get suspended, which is just, you know, after the year they had, just a wild story. And he just goes out there. I don't think there's any thought. I think it's, okay, this is the news story. Let me get out there with whatever.
Yeah. It's not the same as a news desk saying, okay, what do we know? What can we report?
Right. Right. Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Last one on the weird story, wild feedback, and then we'll talk about some NFL stuff. I was surprised somebody, now this is something that we would care about, but I got this from a lot of people on Twitter. There were people upset that Nance and Romo called the Chiefs-Colts game this week instead of Dolphins-Bills. And for people who are listening who don't know, the networks, CBS, Fox, they do their game assignments for the opening 3 weeks, like in the preseason. They map out their 3 weeks. Then I think they go to like a week to week, or, you know, then they can switch things around. I saw someone even, I think there was a column on a website where someone was livid that Nance and Romo didn't call Bills Dolphins. Again, and I'm into the announcers, you're stretching if you're getting upset by that. Plus you got Kevin Harlan. Kevin Harlan called the Dolphins and Bills. What more do you want? He's phenomenal.
And dude, with a game with butt punt,
yeah.
Is there any better person to be calling that than Kevin Harlan?
Exactly.
I was flipping back and forth between the two, and I was like, first of all, they're both really good games. Dolphins Bills was just wilder on like a, you know, on a couple of orders of magnitude more. But it was like, yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. In fact, it was funny. I was talking to somebody the same thing, and because I interviewed Nance in the spring and at the PGA, I guess it was in May, and he knew his assignments already.
In May,
he knew where he was going. I'm pretty sure. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but I'm pretty sure he knew his travel schedule. It's almost like when the offensive coordinator scripts plays for like the opening two drives. Like CBS has already scripted some plays here.
Yeah. Plus, in defense of CBS, you know, the Dolphins were down by like 50 points to the Ravens in week two before. So at that point, no one would have expected Nance and Romo to go. So you're not going to shift it that quickly. you know, in week three. If it was later in the season, they would have shifted it. But they're not going to, I think, you know, rearrange everything for a week three game.
And I know we're in Bills mania, and I like Bills mania. I love watching the Bills, but the Chiefs are a really good football team too. Let's remember they beat the Bills last year.
And listen, I watched almost every play of that Chiefs Colts game because I had a financial investment. That fourth quarter was just as wild as Bills Dolphins. The Chiefs basically in the fourth quarter faked a field goal on 4th and 10 that they botched. The kicker missed another field goal, and then they stopped the Colts on a 3rd and 10, and then Chris Jones got called for an unsportsmanlike penalty. All those things happened in the fourth quarter. The Colts had no business winning that game. It was insane, but that's the NFL for you.
Sounds like I know that you had Chiefs minus 6.5 or whatever.
I had a Chiefs-Ravens parlay is what I had, so I was not happy. Not happy. Do you have any 3 weeks into the NFL season, anything catch your eye, good or bad, broadcasters, pregame shows, coverage, anything new, anything that you've said you've been watching the games and you've said, oh, that's interesting or that's not working, anything from 3 weeks in terms of NFL broadcasting?
The two networks that paid big money to get established names got what they paid for, certainly on Monday Night Football.
Absolutely.
It's just almost a relief to hear Joe and Troy, and you're like, okay, these guys got it. Like I'm not worried, you know, forget us as TV critics. I think sometimes when you hear an announcer and they don't have quite the Jedi level mastery of the material, you feel uncomfortable because you're like, oh my gosh, are they going to get something wrong? Is the color analyst going to not really know what to do here?
Yeah.
Those guys like, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. And better than fine. In fact, like it'll be great. And I think the same thing about Al on Amazon. I mean, I think it's that first game, Chiefs Chargers week two, and Arrowhead Stadium. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I feel great. I feel good
It feels like you're watching Sunday Night Football.
Feels like a huge game.
Yeah.
You know, and it feels like a huge game. It feels like Al knows what to do. And it just, again, it's less a media critic like point than it is just like a football fan point. Like, okay, this feels great.
I wrote this, I don't know, Monday or Tuesday in my column, but I think I had Al on right before the season, and we had said, you know, the game broadcast will be fine, like you pointed out with Al and Kirk. The biggest issue for Amazon is getting people to understand the games on Amazon only. There's no other way to watch unless you're in a local market, which adds some more confusion to it. I actually think now, though, I looked at it, the schedule for Thursday Night Football might be a problem. They have a great game this week with the Dolphins and Bengals, and I'm glad Al and Kirk get that. That's a good game. But then they have Colts Broncos, which is not great based on what we've seen from them. And then the week after that is Commanders Bears. So I think the scheduling, they get a good game. They get a Ravens Bucks game week eight. So that's a little bit of a nice bounce back. But then after that, it's Eagles Texans. So, and then Falcons, Panthers. The schedule is going to be a problem, I think, for Thursday night.
It's a good reminder that all the networks had Thursday Night Football, and they all went, you know what? We don't want this anymore. We just don't want this anymore. And I remember talking to the Monday Night guys before the Monday Night package got better. Their biggest gripe was not that the game wouldn't be an A game, because a lot of times you're not going to get it, but it would be just a random matchup that would have no storyline to it.
Right.
You say Eagles Texans, like, what are you doing there?
Exactly.
I mean, the Eagles might be great this year, so that's cool, but like,
right,
it's just no storytelling to that game at all.
Right.
That's not a thing. Yeah. It's like Monday Night Football. I remember a couple years ago when the schedule was still really bad, they'd get the Steelers. Oh, that's good. Steelers a big audience, but it'd be Steelers Jaguars and be like, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
Not division. There's nothing here, you know?
Yeah. I was surprised because the rating for the opening game on Amazon, Chiefs Chargers, was 13 million. And then the next week for Steelers Browns was 11 million. And I didn't think the drop would be that much, only because now you have one terrible quarterback in Trubisky and one mediocre quarterback in Brissett, which is a big fall off from Mahomes and Herbert, obviously. But I thought the Browns and Steelers, those markets, those fans would not have as big a drop off because nobody cares about the Chargers across the country and they have no fan base in week one, but they still lost 2 million viewers. And I don't know if it's because, you know, the quality of the game, the quality of the quarterbacks. I thought it was interesting that they would drop 2 million from week one, week two to week three, which the first week was week two.
Or is it, you know, something we've seen with TV shows forever where people are super curious to tune in week one because it's new and it's Amazon and it's different, something they haven't experienced. And then week two, it's a football game. And they're sort of judging by the quality of the game.
I think this week is fascinating in terms of a rating for Amazon because they have good team, good quarterbacks, you know, Burrow, Tua, Dolphins 3-0.
Surprisingly good matchup. This is a better game than it looked like in the preseason.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned, the thing I want to mention about Buck and Aikman, since you mentioned them first, you know, I feel like Troy is almost a weird case with Troy because he's been doing this for 20 years and I feel like he gets better.
Yes.
I feel like he gets better. I say this all the time. He's the only analyst who will call out the refs. No analyst does that at all. They all play that game where they go, well, you know, I don't know about that call. I'm not sure what he saw there. Troy's just like, that's a bad call. Like, yeah, can you just say it that way, please?
I have a theory that a couple of things happened. One, that Tony Romo happened, and the salaries between number one broadcasters got totally out of whack. But the other thing that somebody suggested to me one time is, like, they started doing Thursday Night Football, and Joe and Troy on Thursday Night Football, it was looser. It was almost like a celebrity roast. Because, again, the games were often kind of crappy. And it was like, okay, let's have some fun here. And actually, let's also just, like, call out refs, call out quarterbacks who stink. Yeah. And, he has changed a lot. And I think he's just kind of, I don't know. And I don't, you know, I don't know if I understand the psychology of it completely. Like, those are two data points I put in there. But I just think, and also, by the way, we should add that Fox tried to get Peyton Manning to call Thursday Night Football and then came back to Troy.
Right.
Probably somewhere in the psychology of all this. But he's, I think, in a lot of ways, a different announcer than he was circa 2017.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're, like, I mean, I said it at the top. I haven't watched the Manningcast because they've been, I get locked in on them. And I do, you know, and I say this often and everyone needs to be reminded, you know, there's so much written about and so much coverage of Monday night, Sunday night, Thursday night. But the thing that's always true is the money package is still Sunday at 425. Almost 27 million for an awful Bucks Packers game on Sunday with no offense. Sunday, it all we care about is Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night, and it's Sunday 425 is still the sweet spot.
People forget. And, you know, I think I probably do the same thing because, of course, you know, we're thinking of announcers and all this stuff. But, like, yeah, I turned that on Sunday afternoon, 1:25 here in the West Coast. And I was like, man, this is great. This game looks great. Looks great. It's a huge matchup. Two good quarterbacks. Like, this is the game I want to watch, you know. Yep. As you said, it turned out to be a crappy game. But I was like, this is awesome. This is football. This is NFC. This is football to me.
Yep. And they got $26.9 million for it. I read a little bit before we started taping. It sounds like LIV Golf is going to buy airtime on FS1. I've said on this podcast and written many times that LIV's only hope was FS1 because CBS and ABC and NBC, ESPN, they're all in bed with the PGA, and Fox will do anything. They have no standards, so they'll get in bed with anyone. So this obviously makes total sense. How much do you think this helps LIV that they'll be on FS1? Do you expect people to tune in?
I guess it ticks a box that they're on TV rather than you and I watching it on Facebook Live, if we're even watching on Facebook Live.
That's not happening.
But, I mean, would we have bet – I was trying to think about this morning. Would we have bet that somebody would have said yes to them without them having to pay for airtime like a Wilford Brimley – commercial?
Wilford getting some shrapnel. I never would have expected
Wilford.
Right. No, I never ever would have expected CBS, ESPN, NBC to do anything with LIV because they're not going to do that to their partner.
But somebody somewhere, you
well,
know?
So it came out, you know, a couple, it was reported recently, Daniel Rappaport from Barstool, he said Apple was out. Once I saw Apple was out, then I was like, okay, if they can't even get the streaming services on board, there's a problem. because the streaming services need any content they could possibly get. So once Amazon and Apple were out, that's when I was like, they are really screwed, because there's no other network that would do it except for Fox.
And we're living in this time where sports rights are the last thing anybody wants to pay for on live television.
Yeah.
And so it's, and you got a bunch of A-level golfers.
Yeah.
So it's really telling that this is where it turned up.
I am beyond fascinated. I can't stop consuming stories about network television scripted show ratings and just what has happened to that. Are you, do you follow that? Isn't it? Because
they were so big, you know, when we were kids, and it was like, again, I feel like a person explaining penny postcards, like my grandfather, right. You know, getting a malted at a diner or something. But it's like, we were growing up, network television was entertainment, news, and sports.
Right.
And basically one of those three things exists. But yeah, the biggest stars of the network were not Joe Buck and Troy Aikman or Jim Nance. They were Jerry Seinfeld and, you know, Tim Allen and Ted Danson. I mean, it was like, it's just gone.
And the 180 of it, where scripted network used to do so well, to the point where ABC got out of the Monday Night Football business and put it on ESPN. Now you can tell ABC would do anything to have Monday Night Football, it seems.
It was a huge drag on the ratings, and that was the thing. Every week was like, hey, do we want Desperate Housewives in this slot, or do we want Monday Night Football? And now whatever the equivalent of Desperate Housewives, it's probably a show that involves police officers or firefighters in Chicago. I'm just going off network promos that I've seen during sporting events here, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But like, no, the answer is no, we don't want that versus a football game.
I think you have to be of a certain age. I think you have to be around our age who grew up watching network television and all the, you know, from the 80s to the 90s and the sitcoms and the drama. And, you know, even with the explosion of cable and HBO and the run they went on, the network still had some stuff. I mean, network is, it's just, I don't want to say completely useless. It's harsh because there's still shows on the air there. But my God, when you see the numbers, it's staggering.
Well, it's like, I've been reading the story about the death of network television for 40 years almost. I mean, it's like that every time people are, can you believe the broadcast networks only have 80% of the viewers now or 70%? Yeah. It would keep ticking down. Yeah. And you'd be like, okay, but it's still a thing.
Yeah.
And when it hit me, finally really went off the cliff.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, they exist to show pro football now. Like, if they didn't show pro football, would they exist?
And this is also why Fox got in bed with the WWE with SmackDown. They wanted to get to just everything, you know, live. They want live events, live, you know. It hit me over the summer. I had Alan Sepinwall from Rolling Stone on this podcast, and I asked him about this, and he said, like, the death of network will be much sooner than anyone expects. And I was like, well, that's pretty powerful coming from him.
Yeah. I mean, and again, it's like, we're already in this technological moment where people are going to watch it less, you know, anyway, because they've got all these options. But just again, it's like, to me, those things exist to show football games. That's what they exist to me. And I think we look at the ratings, and that's the way they exist to lots of people.
Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to get into, and now, last thing, you know, I guess maybe I'm being a hypocrite by making this the last topic, but I've been getting a kick out of the, there's no coverage of Brett Favre scandal.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of things on this. So many people comparing it to Udoka. Take the names out of it. One is a sex scandal, and one is not. And there's the old adage, sex sells. So that's a factor in this. Whether you like it or not, that's just what the reality is. Everyone wants to be all high and mighty on Twitter. Most people want to know the details of what happened in Boston. So there's that. But I've put on ESPN like three times this week, and all three times they were covering the Brett Favre scandal. Like, I don't, this theory that, and Pablo Torre, who does a great podcast for ESPN, he covered it on a podcast this week. I saw it on SportsCenter one night. I'm missing the Brett Favre things not being covered. Am I wrong on that?
No. I mean, whenever I hear that isn't being covered, the first thing I say is, you're saying something isn't being covered that you learned about in the media.
Right.
So what are we talking about here?
Right.
I think
I also think
Go ahead. Sorry.
You go.
Well, I was just saying, like, there's anything to me. I mean, and look, should it be covered a lot? Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like it's a huge story. But I think if there's anything to sort of reconsider, it's to go back a couple of Brett Favre scandals ago and just kind of look at how he was treated by the media, by all of us in that period, right? Like, wasn't Brett Favre on the Manning cast last year?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is not Brett Favre's first thing.
Right.
And so I think there's probably, you know, he was a guest on television, all this stuff. I think probably the thing to do is to go back and look at how we've looked at Brett Favre over the last couple of years as a character and all this kind of stuff. He's in, you know, but it's...
You were dead on, 100%. 100%. I was never a Brett Favre fan. I never liked him. I always thought he was kind of a, you know, not a great guy. But NFL fans seem to have loved him. I also think in the whole, you know, why isn't it being covered or where's the same energy? I also think the Favre thing is pretty like straightforward. Like, he's a bad dude, did something beyond deplorable and should be in jail. I don't know what else there is to say besides that. Like, that's the story.
Yeah, I know. I haven't heard the in defense of Brett Favre opinion in the media. Maybe it's out there somewhere.
Right. But even the contrarians who exist just to like throw out the opposite take to get attention, I haven't even seen them defend Brett Favre.
I have not. Maybe it's out there. Why isn't anyone covering the contrarian? No. I always, you know, and look, there are times where we could say that, you know, like, why isn't, you know, stories aren't getting enough attention.
Right.
But I've seen those and it's literally above the fold in the print edition of that day's New York Times.
Right.
You just think like, what, I don't know what you mean by that in this case.
Yeah. I just don't think there's a ton. I mean, we know what he did, what he's accused of doing with the money. So besides throw him in jail, I'm not sure what else there is to say. I mean, you hit it a good point. I think this is a good time for people to go through all of the bad things he's done, but
yeah. And it's like, look, if that's what happens, if that's where this ends up, that's going to be a gigantic story.
Yes.
A Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, in his retirement, facing that kind of penalty. I mean, that will be a gigantic story. For sure.
And sure. I don't think he'll end up in jail, but I think, you know, he'll worm his way out of it probably. But I mean, he did something there that is heinous. I don't think there's any disputing that at this point. So, all right. That's a bad note to wrap it up on. Let's wrap it up. We should wrap it up on something. I don't know. Let me see. I hear something. I'll do this. I heard the most insane take I think I've heard
in a
long time yesterday.
Okay.
And it came from Peter King, who was on Chris Mad Dog Russo's Sirius XM show.
Not who I thought you were going to say. Please continue.
I know. And he said, well, he destroyed Ken Dorsey for flipping out in the press box after the Bills lost, and said that if he does it again, the Bills should send him to anger management.
No.
He said that.
A football coach?
Yeah. He's throwing things after a loss.
40 plus years of covering pro football. He didn't see football coaches getting angry.
Said he acted like a child, can't have a coach act that way, can't have a coach behave that way, and if he does it again, the Bills should send him to anger management.
That's the standard we're doing. There's going to be a lot of coaches in anger management next week.
Like, the team just lost and he threw some stuff. I think that's normal.
Was it the Florida coach, Billy Napier, who was on the field and the assistants were holding him back the other day? I mean, is that really football coaches? We're going to, you know, do we watch Hard Knocks this year? We're going to, those guys.
I was driving when I heard that take, listening to the show, and I wanted to pull over and tweet about it. That's how, but then I'm like, I don't want to tweet about it because then people take Peter King and then it becomes a thing that, like, I'm just saying that was one of the wildest takes I've ever heard in my life. That's all.
The funniest part of that clip was not the throwing stuff. It was the person who put the hand over the camera because they realized he was on camera.
Since
he's just been throwing things for 5 seconds. And they're like, oh, excuse me. This is a private moment of anger here in the Bills coordinator box.
Since when are we not allowed to see coaches be angry or we're covering up coaches' tirades? Like, we live for coaches' tirades. What are we doing?
It was a great piece of video.
Yeah. It's like Tom throwing the tablet. Same thing.
Oh, anger management for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He's throwing a lot of tablets, right? We don't know.
I'm glad I got to get that out of my system. So thank you for coming
That's
on.
Good. That's a good note. That.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate you coming on. Always fun to chat with you.
Yes.
And continued success at The Ringer, the Press Box Pod. Check it out. And we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Jimmy. Always
All right,
fun.
Take care. Thanks.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
All right, joining me now, got a couple of hosts of a brand new podcast here on Sports Illustrated. It's called The Bag, and it would be of interest to a lot of you listening to the SI Media podcast because it covers sports business. The hosts are Lindsay McCormick, former NFL running back Rashad Jennings. Guys, thanks for joining me on the SI Media podcast. How you doing?
Thank you for having us. Jimmy, I have to tell you, you got me through I wouldn't say a dark period of my life, but I hated flying for a while. I was on a flight that got struck by lightning. And after that, it took me forever to get back on an airplane. And the only thing that got me through flying after that was reading your Sports Illustrated articles on the plane, as well as listening to worship music the entire way. But your articles were a big part of that recovery period of getting back on airplanes. So now I
appreciate that. Thank you.
That's a great compliment. I don't think I've ever heard a compliment like it.
I appreciate that. It's funny because I've written a daily column for SI for so long, like 15 years, and the pod I've been doing for a few years. And I don't know, I feel more attached to the podcast today, but like, the column is always like this. It's like my baby. So it's I really appreciate hearing that because it's very cool to have like a daily audience for something like that. Before we get into the bag, let me just get into a little bit about each of you. Now, Rashad, I know obviously we all know you from the NFL, running back for the Giants, the Jaguars, the Raiders. Now you're doing the bag, the new sports business podcast here on SI. Was your plan during your career to get into media when you were done with the career? Or is this a transition you're doing now? What do you want to get into? Obviously, you're doing the podcast. What's like sort of the post-NFL media plan for you?
I want to be a horseback rider. I just got to lose a lot of weight. Nah, man, I have fun with life. I always wanted to get into TV, acting, hosting, commentating, and finding my lane and space in the entertainment sector. Moved out to L.A., after being on and winning Dancing with the Stars and kind of like got into a couple things here, there, I was set up on some major cool projects, but they all fell through because of COVID at the time. And so that was my tender of coming out to LA and exploring. COVID happened, shut down every single project I had going on.
Wow.
My father passed away, went back home to Virginia, was going to spend 2 weeks there, but because of COVID shutting down everything, I stayed there for 8 months and kind of just hit the unplug for a little bit on everything. I went back to being a high school student, if you will, because of stay. That was the first time I've lived in my house for eight months straight since I was, you know, 16 years old. So, you know, I got to regroup, re-strategize, think about what's important, you know, really appreciate the moments with my family. And, you know, it's funny. I'll say this real quick. I've been working so hard my entire life to put myself in a position that I could spend more time with the loved ones, right? You know, I'm trying to establish a life to spend more time with loved ones. And in the process of doing that, I'm always away from the people I love. So, yeah. You know, it was a good reset for me in trying to find ways to be home more, but accomplish more. So, you know, the podcast world makes sense.
Yeah. Lindsay, tell us a little bit about your background and how you landed the gig here doing the bag for Sports Illustrated.
So I've been in sports broadcasting and sports journalism for about 15 years. I've worked for ESPN, Sunday Night Football, lived on the Sunday Night Football bus, wrote for ESPN, the magazine for a while, and covered Portland Trailblazers, and just one job after the next, as you know how this industry goes. Yep. And then I reached a point where I thought, I'm not going to be able to support a family with this salary unless you're Tony Romo or Charles Barkley with some of those big broadcasting contracts. And I got a little more into investing, and I started working with a company called ePlay Digital out of Canada, is a strategic advisor for them. And they're the company that's responsible for the video games that ESPN, Fox all put out. And it really opened my eyes to the world of investing, of angel investing. And I started to dig deeper into that. And that landed me on a show with Entrepreneur Magazine called Elevator Pitch. And that's where Rashad and I met and worked together. And I was on that for four seasons, and I got to mentor entrepreneurs and companies. And it's funny, my dad is very big in the business world and the true definition of an entrepreneur. And I tried my entire life to avoid that world. Right. And I now seem to be right smack dab in the middle of it, because everything is a business at the end of the day. And you can't avoid business if you want to be successful at anything.
It's funny because I was going to ask if you two knew each other before starting up this podcast. So clearly you've worked together for many years in the past, I guess. So I guess doing the podcast must be fun. It's always great when you know the person you're going to riff off of. Right, Rashad?
Yeah, 100%. I have the luxury of not going into this blind. You know, like she said, we got a chance to meet each other, know each other. We ended up, I laugh, and Lindsay will tell you this, I ended up being somehow our relationship, her health coach along the way. I would always get a text from Lindsay, hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about this, who should I talk to? I would send her different practitioners, doctors, plans, and all kind of stuff. So we've kept literally a healthy relationship.
So is that like a passion of yours, hell? Like, why does she think you're the person to go to for that? Obviously, there's a reason.
Yeah, so I am very much a health nut in the league. I slept in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, ate gluten and dairy free for the last 12 years, train year round. Like, I do the odd stuff that all my teammates would be like, what the heck is Rashad doing now? Like, having all these weird contraptions and earthing and, you know, receiving energy from the ground, like all this weird stuff to perform the best I could on Sundays.
Any ayahuasca?
No, we didn't do that. No
ayahuasca. What about TB12? Any TB12 method?
Yeah, what he does that works is, I believe, his eating.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not the same, but the regimen is kind of rigorous like his. Yeah. So
I do think there's something to his whole pliability thing. I think in every sport, every athlete wants to just work out and get jacked up. But I think he's onto something with the pliability. What do you think about that?
He absolutely is. What he does, I think, takes way too much time, though.
Right.
Like, to be honest, something got to give. You can't be successful at everything.
Right. All right. So, Lindsay, tell the listeners what the bag is about, what we should expect from the bag each week with you and Rashad on sportsillustrated.com.
So we felt like this is the perfect time to do this show because we keep seeing more and more in the headlines, sports and business, contract information, contract headlines. And it seems like the fans are more than ever really want to know all the details of these. And I don't know if we just glossed over those headlines in the past or if fans are just wanting to see the ins and the outs of the industry more than ever. And we wanted a landing spot for all of these headlines. And we thought the sports gambling world, new streaming sites, behind the scene experiences that people are now paying to watch. You know, every year these enterprises grow in size and depth, but also in breadth. And 10 years ago, we never thought we would have seen gambling sponsors. 15 years ago, we never thought we could have predicted these, how big fantasy is, and now esports. And now you have athletes that have their own brands and complete control over their own content and social media platforms and marketing agencies. And you have athletes retiring and having side hustles and transitioning into second careers. And then there's also the infrastructure behind these athletes, pushing them onto the field. Like Rashad talked about, the hyperbaric chamber. And Rashad has been a big advocate for muscle activation therapy, which is what Peyton Manning used after his surgery. And that was a big thing that helped me, thanks to Rashad's recommendation. And you see these guys that are helping these players get onto the field every Sunday. And we wanted a landing place for all three of those things. And that's the bag. And we feel like it's the perfect time for it, more so than ever.
I'm glad you brought up the gambling because, you know, you can't during an NFL Sunday or any NFL game. We saw it even like, you know, we see it on Thursday nights, Monday nights. It's astonishing just to see the constant push of the gambling content. And I'm curious, Rashad, as a former NFL player, I mean, did you ever think you'd see what we see now with gambling, you know, being so taboo in the NFL and now it's as prevalent as anything? I'm curious, as a former player, what your take is on the gambling explosion in the NFL.
Yeah, I knew it would come. I anticipated it because anytime there's money to be made, as soon as you can regulate it, there's even more money for those who regulate it to be made. Yeah. So they just had to figure out how to put, as a prohibition, they just had to figure out how to make money off of everybody else making the money.
When you were playing, though, was it made clear to you from, you know, the team, you know, about how taboo it was, or don't even think about it, don't get involved in it? Or were you not told it and it was just understood?
No, it was understood, but it was a major point as well. Made a point.
Yeah. What'd you make of the Calvin Ridley suspension?
You know, he got suspended. How many games did he get suspended?
A year.
He ended up retiring, right?
He's not retiring.
What did he? I forgot. What did actually he end up doing?
He bet some Falcons games. A couple of He had the Falcons in some parlays. A little harmless $1,500 parlay.
Right.
And they suspended him for a year because he bet on his own team. That was his sin.
Did he bet on his team to win?
Win, yes.
Then I have no problem with that. Yeah. See, the thing, I mean, obviously he's literally going out there every week and betting on his team to win.
Yep.
I mean, that's why he's playing the game. So I don't have any issue with an athlete betting on his team to win. Losing, we could talk.
And he did it while he was injured. He was sidelined. So it wasn't like he was affecting the game. He was out injured and figured he'd have get some rooting interest in his team. But yeah, I'm with you. This suspension for a year is ridiculous.
What's the issue of making a bet that my team is going to win? Like, what is he going to do? He's going to go strategize to the coach. Okay, we really need to win this one.
Right. It's
That's
ridiculous.
The whole point anyway.
Yeah. Lindsay, give us here last week of September. What is the biggest sports business story right now? What's something people should be keeping an eye on? What are you guys talking about on the pod? What's like the single biggest sports business story right now?
I mean, this isn't the single biggest. There's so many right now, but the Jimmy G restructuring his contract and then Trey Lance getting injured and Jimmy G now playing for the rest of the season for the Niners seems to be a big one because it shows the guy truly loves the game and wasn't just in it for the money. And to attend training camp, throwing the ball essentially to himself on the sidelines all training camp, and then to restructure his contract when he could have just sat out and been paid I think it's going to play out to be an interesting story throughout the season, especially. Yeah. And Rashawn and I had talked about this. Is this where the NFL will be headed at some point, where you have to really earn your paycheck week after week?
Right. Rashawn, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
And I was speaking to that, a heavy incentivized contract. And, you know, how many, obviously an owner would love this, that we pay you only specifically if you win, if you exceed X amount of plays per game, because now they get to control your dollars. I mean, that's really the incentivization of contracts is where most organizations hold back an athlete from earning money, and they're really playing Monopoly in a very strange way. So I hope we don't see, like, my little nephew, quick example, my little nephew text me, he was like, oh my gosh, he made $350,000. Oh my God, I can't believe it. I was like, yeah, if you win 10 games, that means he got 3.5, a starting quarterback, got $3.5 million. Really, do you think that's what he's valued? Have you seen Deshaun Watson's contract? He ain't played in 2 years. Like, so, you know, I think the numbers can overexcite minds that really don't understand the business too much for me.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency, where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
Tell me about, I'm curious, Rashawn, because we've seen this over the years just sort of get bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's athletes creating their own brand and doing all this stuff on social media for their brand. I mean, you have a guy here. I mean, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time, 7 Super Bowls. He's going to Hall of Fame, and he's here making TikTok videos. It's like, do you need to, you know, when you were playing, tell me when you were playing, was the social media stuff big then, or did it really explode after you got out of the NFL?
Yeah, that's a funny question. No, when I was in the league, it was shunned against to have it. You are a football player. You do nothing but play football. If you post anything, then the only comments you're going to get from fans and your organization is you should be focused on football. Like, literally, all you can do is football 24/7. You can't even take a piss. So, it's completely changed. And so, I think it's important that players are doing this.
So is it now to the point where the NFL players, they get to camp, you have your rookies, you have your veterans, you're in camp, and it's like you have to have a brand manager? Like, can you be an NFL player today without a brand manager and someone doing your social media? What percentage of the players would you say have that as opposed to don't have that?
Yeah, the social media aspect really isn't too difficult to handle on your own. Legitimately, it's very simple. Now, obviously, companies are going to try to monetize off a player that is not educated enough how to download CapCut and do it themselves. But, you know, how that works. So I think it's important. So the idea of athletes having their own brand and, you know, following and likeness and all that is exciting. Right. Releases so many endorphins. So if you're a marketing manager, you're living a dream right now as an athlete. It's a great opportunity to make a brand outside of football. So people like news. I don't want to have to go to ESPN to figure out what you said. I want to be able to go directly to you, uncut and edited. That way it's no he say, she say type of idea. So players are winning right now. So shout out to even I give homage to T.O. for celebrating, because now we get to celebrate. You know what I mean? And like you start looking at Marshawn Lynch and how he handled interviews that made people want to be interested in what does the player have to say? Right. You know, so all these things that were shunned against are actually being applauded. And it's I'm honestly curious to what's the next wave that don't do this. Oh, yeah, we love it and celebrate it. It's coming. It's going to come. I can't wait to see what it is.
Lindsay, I would imagine a big topic, too, is the NILs in college football. Is that a big topic for you and Rashad on the podcast? I mean, I'll be honest. I don't follow that as closely. Like to me, just pay the college players if they can get deals. But is that a huge topic here? I guess that topic too is that's only going to grow, obviously, as we get deeper into the NILs, right?
So kind of piggybacking off of what you guys were just talking about, I think this makes it more challenging for the media, because now you have these college and high school players that have their own social media platforms and they have full control over the content that's put out. So it makes them more hesitant to go on ESPN and to do interviews because they don't know what questions are going to be asked. They don't have complete control of their image and how they're going to be perceived. And it makes it harder for the media because you really have to rely on those organic, authentic relationships. And that, hey, we're not going to make you look bad. We're on the same team, because they now have access to, why would I come on this show when I can just put out my own press and with or without a social media manager? So I think they're starting them much younger, like you were talking about with this name, image, and likeness deals in college. And I think it's going to really shake up the industry as a whole.
I have to say this. I'm going to keep pushing this envelope. All this is happening because it's the NFL's fault. They forced smarter athletes. And this is the results you get. Athletes understanding their value and taking control over it.
Do you think there was a role at all played by the fact that college coaches were getting ridiculous contracts as well? I mean, it was sort of getting out of hand where you have coaches making $10 million a year and the players are getting nothing and the people are tuning in every Saturday to watch the players.
Yeah, the players got smarter.
Yeah.
It's going to keep coming back down to the players got smarter. Yeah. It is all because it used to be a GPA didn't matter in order to play high school football. Now all of a sudden you bump it up to 2.3, 2.5. Oh, you got to be smarter to play. Okay, and that doesn't necessarily mean they are. They have to go through more loopholes. The more loopholes you understand, the more you start taking that correlated to business. Before you know it, they used to have drug infested, all kind of stuff, athletes and running around in the NFL. Now they clean it up a lot more than it used to be in the 80s. And now what do you have? Smart, more intelligent athletes. That's why you have more athletes that are running podcasts and doing behind. If you go look at the landscape of ESPN panels, athletes, why? Athlete, because they force smarter athletes and now they understand their value. So that's your answer at the end of the day. It's all going to come down to education.
Very interesting. And this is this kind of stuff you'll hear on The Bag with Lindsay and Rashad. What day does the pod come out each week? You have a set day?
It comes out on Tuesday every week.
Okay, so every Tuesday, Apple, Spotify, everywhere you get this podcast, subscribe to The Bag with Lindsay and Rashad. They will cover sports business for you, take you in depth on all the topics we talked about today. And looking forward to checking it out. Continued success. Thanks for coming on. And good conversation. If I ever need any, I don't know anything about the NIL. So maybe one day we'll do like a whole big in-depth thing on it. Cause you know, I have no idea what's going on with that. So I'll get you guys on the media pod down the road. And everyone listening, subscribe to The Bag, like I said, on all your podcast platforms. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Appreciate you, Jimmy.
Be well. Take care. All right. My thanks to Brian Curtis, Lindsay McCormick, Rashad Jennings. Sal will be back next week. If you missed any recent episodes of the SI Media podcast, dip into the archives. Check them out. Rich Eisen was on last week. Andrew Marchand of the New York Post 2 weeks ago. Al Michaels 3 weeks ago. Matthew Berry 4 weeks ago. Give those a listen. Subscribe to the pod. And if you can leave a review on Apple and rate it, we'll read the review in a train of thoughts next week. All right. That's it. Stay safe. Take care. We'll see you next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.